Exclusive: Jim McMahon talks Bears football, Ditka, concussions, Tom Brady, and more. By Kevin Shola on February 3, 2019. The New England Patriots and Los Angeles Rams will play for it all in Super Bowl 53 Sunday. But to many, the greatest NFL team of them all is still the group that cruised to victory back in Super Bowl 20. The 1985 Chicago Bears were brash and cocky. But they were also good, really good. Buddy Ryan's 46 defense revolutionized football and the big, bad Bears beat up on whoever got in their way. Chicago posted a dominant 15-1 record in the regular season and went on to blow out the New York Giants. And coincidentally enough, the Rams and Patriots in the postseason. The Bears' defense was all-world. But their offense was pretty capable as well. One man who knows all about that Bears' offensive attack is Jim McMahon. The Punky QB, as he was nicknamed in the Super Bowl shuffle, was one of the best leaders sports has ever known. McMahon piloted the 85 squad's offense with toughness and grit. He looked like a quarterback but had the reckless abandon of a stuntman. McMahon was the perfect guy for 1980s Chicago. As far as the legendary team's place in history, McMahon doesn't say the Bears are better than everyone in the history of the game, but he doesn't say they aren't either. That's not for us to decide, but we would line up against anybody and think we have a good chance, McMahon told Breitbart Sports. The soon-to-be sexagenarian knows exactly why his offense was so successful. Sure, the Bears featured Walter Payton, one of the best football players ever, as their top back, and yes, McMahon had the Midas touch on a regular basis. But it was the offensive lineman that made the 1985 season a championship one. That's who doesn't get the credit that they deserve, McMahon said. Everybody knew we were going to run the football and we were still able to do it. That's a credit to those guys up front. Those guys, Jim Covert, Tom Thayer, Jay Hilgenberg, Mark Bortz, and Keith Van Horn helped Chicago lead the league in rushing for several years in a row. During the Super Bowl season, the Bears led the NFC in scoring and were second in the entire league in points. While 1985 was the last time the Bears won it all, the team still has the second most championships in NFL history. As the franchise gets set for its 100th season, the support for the Bears is how it's always been, fierce. Indeed it has. The 1985 Chicago Bears are cherished, not only in the Windy City but by Bears fans and really, football fans worldwide. The high level of play is one reason why that team is still so revered. But the characters that played on that club may tell even more of the story. From music videos to TV commercials to controversy on and off the field, the Bears were the wild boys of football. In part, they got that personality from their coach, Mike Ditka. Ditka's as big of a Bears icon as anyone. The coach is still synonymous with the franchise. Even current Bears signal caller Mitchell Trubisky, who was born 9 years after that 1985 team hoisted the Lombardi Trophy, dressed up as Iron Mike for Halloween this season. Ditka is a legend in Bears country. Legend or not, Ditka met his match when it came to McMahon. The coach and the quarterback would have shouting matches right on the sideline. On at least one occasion, McMahon stuck his tongue out at his coach. However you categorize their colorful relationship, the numbers don't lie. Ditka McMahon worked even if the two alpha Bears drove each other crazy. Early on I think it was okay, then it just got to be quite a strain, said McMahon. But, I would have loved to play with Mike Ditka. He was a great football player and had he ever been in my huddle I think he would have had a better understanding of me. I didn't do things just to piss him off. I was doing things to win football games. The way I was taught in college, if I saw something that I could exploit on the defense, to do that. That's hard to curtail especially when I come from an offense in college where I got to throw it almost every down. Now, I'm handing it off 80% of the time which for a quarterback is pretty damn boring. It's a great option to have when you're handing it off to Walter, but Mike and I would butt heads. I would say hey, why can't I just throw it to him instead of having him run through the line? Why can't he get past the line, and I can throw it to him? I know I can throw it 5 yards, you have to give me that much credit. The idea worked. Soon the Bears were regularly passing it to Payton out of the backfield. Sweetness wound up with more receptions than any player on the team, including the wide receivers. Sometimes though, old-school Ditka just didn't like it when McMahon would change a play. He came from a background where we were going to run the football and that's what we did, McMahon said. So, whenever I had a chance to throw it, that's when I would do it, and sometimes that would upset him. We had the best talent, McMahon said. It's hard to lose when you have the best talent. Then when you have schemes that are different like we did on defense. You put the talent with that defense, it made for some pretty easy Sunday work. It made it tough on the offense because we had to deal with that every day. We were in pads 3 days a week and everything was live. There was no pussyfooting around in our practices. Guys got hit every day. Those hits added up. I think that took its toll, McMahon said. I was there 7 years. After seven, I was exhausted. Imagine the guys that were doing the hitting every day. The injuries to McMahon were plentiful. He missed the playoffs in both 1984 and 1986. He was less than 100% at other times. If he had been healthy, many feel the Bears would have captured more Super Bowls besides their 1985 title. McMahon wholeheartedly agrees. I don't think there's any doubt about that, he said. We had our chances. It should have been four in a row. Dave Durson, a safety on the 85 Bears, committed suicide in 2011. Doctors later determined that he suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a degenerative brain disease linked to concussions. This hits home for McMahon in more ways than one. Not only did he lose an old teammate, but McMahon himself has battled depression and headaches. Only in recent years has he been able to manage things better, thanks to a spinal cord adjustment procedure that he receives multiple times a year. It's not going to go away, McMahon said. At least now I know what's wrong with me. Guys that I played with that have taken their lives, I had the same thoughts as them. But I found somebody to help me and they explained to me what's happening. I have to go back to New York about every 3 months to get another adjustment. My neck is so screwed up that it doesn't allow my spinal fluid to get out of my brain. When that starts backing up, that's when I start really having problems. Bad head pain and forgetfulness and stuff like that. The spiky hair is long gone, McMahon is completely clean-shaven on top of his head. But the signature sunglasses that fans remember are still a constant. Not that he has any choice. The shades are not to be cool like so many tend to believe. When McMahon was 6 years old, he was trying to untie a gun holster using a fork. His hand slipped and the fork stuck right in his eye. Two prongs went dead center in my eyeball, McMahon said. I nicked my retina and just kind of shredded the eye. I wear them to this day. When people get their eyes checked, they get them dilated and then they give them those dark glasses to wear home. Well, my eye is constantly like that because they had to cut a big chunk of my iris out. That's the reason for the sunglasses. One of these days people will figure it out. Like Ditka is to sweaters and cigars, McMahon is to headbands and sunglasses. When Trubisky was named to the Pro Bowl this year, the first Chicago quarterback to pull that off since McMahon in 1985, the Bears tweeted out a picture of their QB1 in sunglasses. McMahon jumped on it, tweeting to Trubisky, "Congrats on the Pro Bowl, kid. If you need some more shades, I got a couple pairs laying around." Needless to say, Bears fans of all generations love this. McMahon isn't big on social media. He says he doesn't really care what everyone is doing every minute of the day. When asked what would have happened if social media existed in 1985 and what that would have meant for the Steve McMichaels, Wilbur Marshalls, and Jim McMahons of the world, Mad Mac didn't mince words. Prison time, probably, he chuckled. McMahon isn't a huge NFL guy either. He doesn't tune in much. He did watch the Bears playoff game this season, but otherwise he usually only checks out a game if a friend is roaming the sidelines. McMahon keeps tabs on Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid, who was his teammate at BYU, and Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera, a linebacker with the 85 Bears. Otherwise, McMahon, a grandfather of three now, would much rather be spending time with family and helping people who are struggling with life after football. The Ditka Bears fell in the playoffs at Soldier Field in 1986, 1987, 1988, and 1991. That unfortunate trend has continued for the most part. Dick Geron's Bears lost at home in 2001. Lovie Smith's crew fell short in 2005 and 2010, both in Chicago, and Matt Nagy's bunch is fresh off of a double doink of a setback in front of Monster Believers just weeks ago. The Patriots have not had such woes. It's a credit to Tom, McMahon said. He has a good line. Who knows how long he can play? You can't even get near the quarterbacks anymore. somebody's going to end up playing until they're 50. As for McMahon, he's months away from 60 and things are looking up despite his ongoing physical struggles. "I've got two grandsons and one granddaughter," McMahon beamed. "It's been awesome." Last month, McMahon was inducted into the National Quarterback Club Hall of Fame. A fitting honor for a hard-nosed player. With the Bears entering season 100, the team will be looking back at so many moments. Immortals like Hollis, Grange, Nagurski, Luckman, Sayers, and Butkus will be brought up plenty. After winning a division title and making the postseason for the first time in 8 years, today's Bears of Trubisky, Cohen, Leno, Mack, Fuller, and Hicks will get their share of love too. But those 1985 Bears will always have a special place. They were the best of the best. Monsters of the Midway. "We had a blast," McMahon said. "That's what I miss. Just hanging around the locker room with each other. There's a lot of funny people in that sport." McMahon got to catch up with Ditka and Covert in Florida last month. Whenever he's in Chicago, he tries to see Richard Dent and Otis Wilson. That special team has a special bond. And while the days of Taco Bell spots and mooning helicopters may be behind him, no pun intended, Jim McMahon will always be Chicago's first stringer, truly a super bear like no other. Follow Kevin Chola on Twitter @KevinChola.